to C3 Church Hepburn Heights. We believe Jesus Christ gives life to the full, and we are called to live it and share it. We pray you enjoy this message today.
Hello, church. So good to be with you. Thank you, Pastor Jason M, for the opportunity to share about servant-hearted humility, the way of Jesus. Sounds like an easy topic, right, to unpack? But we do have the privilege, myself, MJ, and Lauren, to talk to you and share with you about this amazing theme that we're doing this year, which I just love, and I'm sure you are too, and getting a lot out of it. And I'm just wondering, have you ever said something, and as soon as it's come out of your mouth, instant regret? Anybody? Anyone? Just me? Oh, a few hands going up. That's great. I feel better now. Well, this was me a few weeks ago in a conversation with some colleagues at work, and I said something without thinking, and I knew as soon as it came out of my mouth, oh, Eden, you should not have said that. And I was really upset with myself about it. I repented to God and I spoke to the people involved in the conversation afterwards. But in spite of all those things that I did after the fact, I just found myself not being able to let my mistake go. I began analysing my failure instead of just releasing it back to God. And this led to me catastrophizing and overthinking and self-condemnation. All of the things I say to the students I work with, don't do that. I was doing all of them, one, two, three, like an absolute pro. And so that was wonderful. And then the following Sunday, during Pastor Emma's preach, up came the list of ins and outs, which I think is going to come up on the screen this morning. And instantly, my eyes were drawn to the word effort, like a neon sign, effort. Are you listening, Eden? God was saying. And he was showing me that actually it was the idol of effort and striving that had led to my mistake in the first place. My inability to then not let it go afterwards, not accepting God's forgiveness, as though I think I should be able to do better or be better in my own strength, showed a lack of humility in me. God has continued to speak to me since then how effort often leads to like self-focused behaviour. Because when we're operating out of this striving and this effort-based space, we are relying on our own capacity, our own ability to live out servant-hearted humility. And so it has the opposite effect, right? Because then it becomes a pride-based motivation. And so then it's all about me and not actually about him. And it's unsustainable. And when Jesus was on the earth, he actively depended upon the power and the presence of Father God to carry out his mission. And so we cannot possibly live our lives apart from God or without his empowering in the daily decisions we make, whether big or small. We need his Holy Spirit power. And we see that effort not only leads to this self-focused behaviour in our earthly relationships, but it actually can seep into our personal relationship with God as well. I've become aware of my tendency towards striving, which leads me to sometimes try to earn God's favour or earn his love through ticking spiritual boxes, through my works. And it's not the best that God has for me or wants for me or for us here today. And we are encouraged in the Word of God. It's not all bad news. If you're struggling with this in particular, it's not all bad news, because his Word says in Philippians 2 verse 13, "For it is not your strength, but it is God who is effectively at work in you, both to will and to work, that is strengthening, energizing, and creating in you the longing and the ability to fulfill your purpose for his good pleasure." When we let go of the idol of effort, we open our lives to be empowered by Holy Spirit. But then it begs the question, how do we actually let go of striving? How do we let go of effort? There are probably a number of steps we can take, but the one I want to go through today is one that's been something that's resonating with me at the moment. And so I think a next step that I believe we can take to help us to, I guess, lean into this area where we're letting go of effort, we're being empowered by Holy Spirit, is actually the spiritual discipline of silence. So in Emotionally Healthy Spirituality, Peter Scazzaro says, "Silence is the practice of quieting every inner and outer voice to attend to God." Silence is a way for us to stop, to pause our work, our tasks, our doing, to surrender to God in trust. This could be intentional moments that we take throughout the day to simply sit and be in his presence, not striving in our relationship with him, but just slowing down to be with him. Eyes closed, heart surrendered. A sacred word to come back to, Yahweh, Abba, Father, Saviour, Lord, as our mind wanders. Our mind will wander. Well, at least mine does anyway. But if you're looking for some other helpful suggestions in relation to silence with God, our church website has some great ideas under the Servant-Hearted Humility Next Step. So I encourage you to have a look at that if you haven't already. And I challenge you, why don't you try one during the week? You could also download the Centering Prayer app, just because some really great structure and guidelines around this spiritual discipline as well. And I'm sharing this with you because I haven't had a consistent habit of silence as a spiritual discipline in my world. And when I have, it's like max 2 minutes, because 2 minutes silence feels like torture for me. I am an extrovert. I just love, you know, sharing and, you know, all of those sorts of things. And so what I guess helps with my communication can be, I guess, the opposite effect in my relationship with God, because I can always like over communicate. Does that make sense? And so silence is funny. God has a sense of humor, right? Because he's not only challenged me recently to incorporate silence again as a more regular habit in my personal relationship with him, my devotional times, but he's told me to increase it from 2 minutes to 5 minutes. I know it's a long time. I'm already struggling with 2 minutes, so five is a lot. But I really felt prompted by Holy Spirit to do this. And then through this process, God has been teaching me how silence helps to reject the idol effort and striving in my world. Because these idols, when left unchecked, they seek to place us in the driver's seat of our lives. And silence is a way to say, well, actually, it's God who is the author of our lives. It's God who's the creator of the universe. Silence helps us to reject effort by embracing, therefore, that we actually do have limitations. We have weaknesses and we need him. Boy, do we need him. And so silence helps us to trust God does in fact know what he's doing. Newsflash, he knows what he's doing and he's very capable, mind you, of that as well. Silence is a way for us to acknowledge it's not our own abilities, but it's his power and it's his grace that's alive and at work within us that helps us to live the way of Jesus. Following a Holy Spirit prompt at work recently, I spent lunchtime chatting to a Christian staff member and we just shared with one another different things in that space. And then later that evening, I had a message from them and they said that they had a friend who lived overseas who had texted them during the day saying that they were praying for them, specifically that somebody they worked with would spend some time with them, showing them God's kindness and comforting them. And this staff member said to me that they realised that person had sent that message at the exact time I come to their classroom that day and that I had indeed shown them God's kindness and his comfort. And this reminds me that as we live and we respond from a place of being empowered by Holy Spirit rather than with our effort and our striving, we're actually able to carry out servant-hearted humility far more effectively. And so my encouragement for us all this morning is may we let go of effort and acknowledge our limitations and place God in the driver's seat of our lives and on the throne where he belongs, the throne of our lives where he is Lord and he is Savior and he is the one that helps us and it's more about him and it's less about me. May we quieten ourselves and the noise around us this week to be with our loving God. He loves us and he just wants us to be with him. We don't have to have it all together or whatever. He just wants us to come to him as we are. And so let's receive his grace and his Holy Spirit power afresh that we might be loving, attentive servants for him in the world. Thank you. And let me welcome now MJ. Yeah.
What a beautiful encouragement from Pastor Eden this morning. So, servant-hearted humility, the way of Jesus. When I first heard this focus statement, I felt pretty good, actually, which might be a hint as to where this is going. So my first thoughts were as follows. Servant-hearted. I think I know what that looks like. Servant-hearted. Maybe move a few extra chairs, volunteer at youth on a Friday. Like, I can do that. And then came humility. And again, I had an idea or some sort of understanding within myself what humility would look like in my day-to-day. And then the way of Jesus. And it came like a gentle slap in the face to me when that sunk in. And I realized a couple of weeks into the series, especially when we looked at the ins and outs list, that I had actually let my pride distract me. My pride had distracted me. I've been seeing the words servant-hearted and humility through pride-colored, own understanding, distracted color glasses, really thick glasses, instead of being attentive to the way of Jesus. Attentive to the way of Jesus. I was serving, and I hope I was being humble, and it wasn't necessarily in a bad way or a negative way, but it wasn't necessarily the way of Jesus. I had to intentionally quieten down the distractions I had in my life, set aside my own personal ideas and ways and plans to actually make space for Holy Spirit to be able to speak into my life, come to a place of surrender. There's a bit of a theme between the three messages this morning, you'll see. I had to allow Holy Spirit to speak, guide, prompt, and mold. I had to be attentive to the way of Jesus. And what do you know? Sure enough, I find myself more attentive. I'm being less distracted. I'm surrendering more. And Holy Spirit shows up and reveals a few things in me. One of these things is a call that is a prompting that I had many years ago. I placed on a shelf and the Holy Spirit just waved in front of me. And so Matthew 5, verse 1 to 16, the Sermon on the Mount. Now, Jesus, when he saw the crowds, went up on the mountain. And after he had sat down, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and began to teach them, saying, "Blessed be the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the gentle, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Be glad and rejoice, for your reward in heaven is great, just like those who came before you. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by people. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, you must let your light shine before others, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." Whew. I got two lines wrong, but that's okay. I'll move on. The call was to be attentive to his word, to memorize the Sermon on the Mount this year. It's something I managed to do all of verse 5 a few years ago, chapter 5, and then I just put down, even though I know the call I had was to memorize chapter 5, 6, and 7. And so this was not for personal gain that I picked this up again. It was not for my glory or edification or that I can boast about it, but that as a leader, I would be able to serve, to be better equipped. And let me tell you, be very, very, very humbled as I dive into Matthew 5, 6, and 7, the words of Jesus. And so this didn't come to me in, again, a moment of distraction of watching Instagram reel and Holy Spirit is like, "Oh my goodness, you didn't do this." But it came in moments of reflection, moments of laying down my way, my own thoughts, and having a posture of surrender and setting aside distractions. I had to be attentive and intentional. And we are actually going to come to a time now where we're going to have an opportunity together as a church to do just this, to come before our God and to surrender and seek His way again. So I invite all of us right now, for the next few minutes, we're going to set aside distractions, whatever that looks like for you. Put your phone down, stop taking notes, no notes needed. We're going to close our eyes together. We're going to find a posture that is comfortable, a posture that is relaxing, what that looks like. We're going to steady our breathing. Steady our breathing. And like Pastor Eden said, we're going to have a grounding prayer that when our mind wanders, Jesus, I surrender. Holy Spirit, come. We can open our hands as a sign of surrender in this moment. And be reminded of the words of the psalm. Be still and know I am God. Be still and know I am God. This is an opportunity for us to allow Holy Spirit to mold, to transform, to reveal, to urge us. Let's not let our distractions get the better, but let's be attentive to the way of Jesus in this moment. Jesus, let your will be done in us and through us. Search us and reveal in us that we may serve with humility more and more the way of Jesus. Let's take the next few minutes, church, and sit in this space as we reflect and sit.
Thank you, Lord. Holy Spirit, would you continue your work of illumination and revelation in our hearts this morning? We thank you for your guidance. We thank you for your still small voice. And Lord, we ask that you would continue to make us more like you. Amen. Amen. Well, to continue and extend this beautiful thread of stillness and surrender that we have heard so far this morning, I'm going to be talking about kneeling. So that same sermon that Pastor M preached with the ins and outs list features here as well. Earlier this year, we looked at that list and were asked to prayerfully consider what God might be asking us to swap into or out of our lives for 2024. And I was sitting in this room praying and asking God to show me, and I caught the word knees, which was a bit unusual. But I felt that Holy Spirit nudge just saying to me that there were greater levels of surrender for me to go to this year. And as he said that, there was a follow-up that was kneeling was the action that was going to position me for what God was doing next in my life. So following that service, I made a commitment to kneeling in corporate moments of worship and prayer whenever there was an opportunity that I was in here for. I meet kids a lot. I hang out with our year fives and sixes who I think are in here this morning. So if you're here, hello. Love you guys. And so far, I have found that God is continuing his deep work in my heart and my mind, which has been absolutely amazing. But I've also really struggled with how personally challenging this deep work actually is. Is God's gradually showing me things in myself that aren't of him, and that is quite confronting at times. It's great. God's deep work, though, through this action of kneeling has been to show me that my resistance to regularly kneeling in surrender and worship was founded in pride and fear. Just some light little revelations for my 2024. Pride was telling me that I couldn't kneel because that would make me look like I was worshiping in a way that was too broken or too vulnerable. Didn't want people to see that. And fear was telling me that the people around me, even the people who were kneeling next to me, were going to be judging me for choosing to kneel. Or on a way less spiritual note, that my butt was going to look weird when I was kneeling. Or that when I stood up, I was just going to fall over. My legs were going to go numb and I was done. So that was great. Awesome. I hope that's relatable for someone right now. Sometimes I have been able to step over those things and kneel, or I would kind of peer pressure myself into doing it because like everyone else was, which I do not recommend. But overall, I was very comfortable surrendering, standing up. Thank you very much. Didn't want to know about kneeling. We're all good. And I'm still stepping over those things now. This is not me standing up here going, I've achieved perfection and this is a quick fix. This is not that. But what I have found is that in listening to Holy Spirit's prompting and in committing to that regular kneeling, God is continuing to remove layers of that fear and that pride in me. And as he does that, he replaces them with his beautiful new things. It's awesome. So there's some beginnings of a new level of delight for me in prayer and worship. There's a deeper sense of God's moment-to-moment companionship with me in what has been a confusing season of life. There's greater trust being built in me in him. And there's a new and lovely stillness in his presence as I kneel and surrender. And through all of this, I have just been so reminded of Ephesians 3:20 telling us that God can do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine. He just asked me to kneel. That was it. It's a simple action, and it's turned into one of the most wonderful invitations to know him and be shaped by him that I've ever received. And don't get me wrong, the discomfort is still there. The fear and the pride still likes to yell at me, all those things I shared before, even as I walk down to the altar to kneel. But God is faithful in that. And I truly believe that the work that he is doing in me and the work that he does in all of us, while it's not linear or even necessarily easy, I believe it will be worked for our good and for his glory in his timing as we continue to surrender ourselves in servant-hearted humility. And so on that note, I would love to pray for us all today. as we continue to do this, as we continue to lay ourselves down in servant-hearted humility. So if you would feel comfortable closing your eyes, maybe opening your hands, join with me as we pray together this morning. Father God, we thank you for your love and your grace as we continue to learn and grow in our journey of surrender. We thank you that you love us when we do it well. We thank you that you love us when we do it poorly. Holy Spirit, would you continue to reveal things in us that you are wanting to shape more and more into your image? We trust your gentle and kind voice. We trust your good work in us, Lord. We choose to trust when it is easy, and we choose to trust when the way feels hard. And Lord, as we surrender again, would you be with us, leading and guiding us in every single moment? Amen.
Thanks so much for joining us here on our podcast. We encourage you to let this word further help you live and share the life to the full that Jesus gives. If you want to check out more about our upcoming events, service times, locations, or to give online, go to c3hh.com.au.